to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Before I introduce Anton, I just want to welcome anybody here that's visiting us for the first time. We just want to give you a little welcome pack and give you a pat on the back and a hug maybe. So anybody here, just indicate quickly. I just want to welcome guys. Just keep your hands raised. The ushers are just going to come give you a welcome pack. Yeah, for those sitting around you, if afterwards I come to them and you didn't give them a hug, then I'm coming for you, all right? No, I'm just kidding. Welcome. We're glad you're here. If you would like to join a small group, there's a little card in there as well that you can just fill in your details on, and you can just give it to either whoever you came with today, or you can give it to me or even Alex, and we'll get one of the small groups in your area just to give you a buzz and invite you to small group. We have small groups every Wednesday. Wednesdays at 7, and that's where church really happens. So welcome, guys. And then I want to just introduce Anton for a lot of those that are relatively new to our Johannesburg congregation. Anton is the Shofar Standerton pastor, him and his wife, and where are we now? Five kids. And let's just receive him for the gift that he is, and we look forward to what God's laid on your heart.
Soos die wolf vir my kappie gesê het, sodat ek jou beter kan sien, my kind. Thanks for the introduction. I was just thinking, if I was a first-time visitor here this morning, I'd be thinking to myself, well, maybe one day people are going to pray for me like this as well when I go to another place. Isn't that amazing? That you can come here and then you can sort of feel that here's people that are loving one another, and there's a day when you arrive and there's a day where you go, but you are sent from one place of the family to another part of the family, and you don't disappear. You don't fall off the map. You're not going to just now no longer be part of the family. And that to me is so amazing. It's wonderful to be part of the family of Shofar. It's wonderful to see so many familiar faces as I'm looking around here. I see Calvin there smiling. I was wondering where he was. I want to see the baby. And so many new faces as well. So it's a privilege for me to be here. Greetings from Standerton and Christelle and the five kids. And that is the total sum. We will not be increasing. Let's leave it at that. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this time, this holy moment to speak to your people, and I pray, Father, that your heart be revealed in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank the guys that brought prophetic words this morning, and one of you guys, the gentleman, quoted the one scripture that I'm going to read this morning, and so that was for me a confirmation of what I want to share with you. I'm not going to be putting it up on screen in terms of the scriptures. So who of you have got your Bibles here? I just want to see. Just wave your Bible at me. Someone told me about 2 weeks ago, said that in church we get lazy because of these PowerPoints. And we don't follow in our Bibles anymore, and we don't market our Bibles anymore, and we actually forget what we see on the screen. So I'm actually going to force you a little bit this morning to read in your Bibles. And the first one's going to be in Hebrews 12. So you can turn there in the meantime while I'm talking. We are going to watch a little video clip a little bit later. I was enjoying that little video clip about the men's weekend. And I can only guess who put it up. If you're Facebook friends with a certain gentleman in your church, then you're going to see lots of army video clips and photos and so forth. But there comes a time where if you are in the army or a similar situation where you have to do the PT and you have to do the training, and there is a time that you have to then whether you like it or not, you have to surrender to whoever is in charge and whoever is saying push-ups and sit-ups and run here and run there and go dive in the pool. And you can try and resist that and sort of go with the flow hesitantly, or you can come to a point where you actually surrender and you give up. And that's exactly what people want, actually, in the military, that we come to a place where we surrender to whoever is in command, where we surrender to the people who's leading us and guiding us. And our head is then Jesus Christ. So I would like to know from you, who of you in your lives have had coaches, rugby coach, netball coach, athletics coach? Okay, all of you have had coaches, good. Who of you had at least one coach that you didn't like or even hated? Okay, all right. So who of you have had a coach that you loved? Okay, next question. Who of you have had a coach that you hated and loved? You loved him because he's nice and he's for you and he helps you to achieve and to do better than you've ever done, but you hate it when he tells you to go another lap. Am I right? Or he says, you feel like you're down and out and you just can't go anymore, and then he says, you can. And then at that moment, you just sort of want to say, I'm going to fly. My message is entitled Coach Jesus, and I want us to look at Jesus as our coach and the things that he shares with us and the manner in which he helps us, because I think we can all agree that the coach is there to help us to become better, to become stronger, to achieve more in whatever area it is that we want to excel in. And so if you are an athlete, you're going to invest money and pay for the best coach that you can find. If you're Usain Bolt, you're not going to get the guy from down the road to be your coach. You're going to get the best coach in the world. Am I right? And you're going to put money into that guy. And you're not going to put money into that guy. You're going to honor him. How many times have you seen on television somebody getting a medal and honoring their coach? How many times have we seen that? So in other words, we honor our human coaches. We give money into them. We sow into them. We appreciate them. We put such value upon the input of the coach in our lives, whether it be a life coach or a business coach, or whether it be a sports coach or a personal trainer. I know somebody here that can help you with that. And what value do we put on Jesus? Do we see Jesus as our coach? And I want to just change your mind a little bit about how we see Jesus and Jesus meek and mild, Leviesis. You know, that Leviesis, soft and kind and gentle. And I just want to give you a sort of a different kind of view of Jesus today and how he spurs us on and stirs us up to move beyond where we have been before. He is gentle. He is kind. But he also helps us in tough times, and we're going to look at that. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Okay, and that's the same scripture that was read during the prophetic words that came this morning. So this for me is such a confirmation of what God does want to share with you, and I'm going to read it from a different version as well. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a few phrases here that I want to highlight. The first one is the cloud of witnesses. Now, there's a cloud of witnesses that's around us, and the Bible doesn't clearly state who that cloud of witnesses are. Okay, I think it is the people that's living around us, they're watching us, and people that's surrounding you in your workplace, your family, your neighbors. There's people watching every move that you make in this life. But I do think that the angels are also watching us. And who knows, maybe there's a television screen up in heaven there and they're watching us all. I don't know about that, but maybe it's there. You know, big screen, Panasonic. Now, who of you have run the athletics race or something like that, and you're like really tired, and you feel like you just want to give up, and then five of your friends start shouting, Anton, Anton, and then it's like 10, and then Anton, and then you think, somebody's watching me, I've got to run faster. You know, I can't embarrass myself here. The people, my friends, and the people close to me, they're shouting my name. And sometimes you hear like a whole pavilion shouting your name, you know, if you're running for a school or a club or something like that. And I'll just tell you this one quick story about Christelle. It's her story, but I like to tell it. When she was at university first year, she was already 3 years out of school. Didn't have much training in the 3 years. In fact, she went to Germany and, didn't do much exercise there. And then she came back, and now for the hostel athletics, you've got to compete. And it's points for, you know, participation. So it doesn't really matter how well you do. It's just participating. You get some points. And so she is entered into the 4x400 meter relay. Not the wisest thing to do if you haven't run for 3 years. To run a 400 meters. And then there were some Springbok athletes, ladies, practicing there. And they thought, for the fun, they're going to join in. And one of them was Marinda Fury. Does anybody know who that is? Are you too young for that? Johan Fury. Does anybody know Johan Fury? The middle distances long ago. Okay, he married Marinda Fury. She's also a Springbok athlete. Anyway, so now Christelle is the second take over the Springbok girl that was running for the Springbok team, sort of just competing for the fun, dropped the baton. And so the Springbok girls were about 50 meters behind. And so Christelle's first runner was the fastest. So she got hers first and 50 meters ahead of Marinda Fury. And so they're running, and then at the moment when Marinda Fury gets her baton, or the, what do you call it? Baton, yeah? Then the commentator starts speaking over the loudspeakers, and there's like 15,000 people listening. And it's, en daarvoor hartle met kleintjie en hier kom Marinda Fury, gaan sy afvang en hier kom Marinda Fury en die kleintjie kom as hy hardloop. Ooh, kyk. And Christelle realized that now there's a cloud of witnesses. And they all want to see, is Marinda Fury going to catch Christelle? Although they didn't know who Christelle was, the kleintjie was Christelle. And so for the rest of that 350 meters that she had to run, the commentator was going step by step, the Clanky versus Marinda Fury, the Clanky versus Marinda Fury, and the gap was getting smaller, and the gap was getting smaller, and she said to herself, I will drop dead today, but Marinda Fury will not catch me. And to her pride and glory and satisfaction, she handed over just a half second before Marinda Fury. And she could say, well, she never caught me. And I think in life it's like that when we are watched, when we realize that we are being watched, we perform so much better. I want to tell you today, you are being watched. You might not know it. Who are the people are next to you who are observing you, the little children that are observing you, the young people that are observing you at high school, your friends, your family. You are being watched by more people than you know. More people are reading your Facebook, by the way, than what you know. And people are observing what you post there. Just thought I'd throw that one in there. Because it's like some people don't realize that people actually read it. And don't put up the most wisest things. But anyway, so first thing is there's a cloud of witnesses, and we need to pay attention to the fact that we are being watched. Secondly, he speaks about the fact that we need to run with endurance. And you only need endurance when you're feeling tired, am I right? When you're feeling fit and happy and you've got lots of strength and you feel like on the go, you don't need endurance. You need endurance when you don't feel like going on.
You need endurance when you are feeling tired, when you're feeling weary, when you feel like, oh, I just cannot carry on, the burden is too much. That is exactly when you need endurance. But let me talk about Jesus. The third one is, the Bible here speaks of Jesus as the founder and perfecter of our faith, or the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, Jesus is the founder. He's the author. He's the one that started you off. When you became born again, you came into Jesus, into the kingdom of God, and he has given you this new life, and he has helped you to start out your walk with him. Sorry, and it is because of him that you are here. It's because of Jesus Christ that we are running this race. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, none of us would be running this race. So he is the beginner, the starter of that. And sometimes it happens that a coach, especially the rugby guys, Super 15 guys like the Kings, would go and grab people and buy them out to come and join them. Not sure if it's a wise thing to join there, but anyway. So Jesus comes in and you are pulled into the kingdom of God. He says, I'm going to start something in your life. I'm going to put you on a journey and I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm going to help you run the race that you need to run. But then it also says he is the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. In other words, he helps us. If somebody perfects you, it means they're changing a little bit. They're adjusting a little bit here. They're fine-tuning who you are, what you look like. And he says, I'm going to perfect you until I've finished with you. So I'm going to just talk about some coaches, types of coaches, and start off by some stories. First one is I had a cross-country coach. When I standard six, I just got into high school. By the way, I was in Wurtsville, Randburg, not too far from here. And I quite like... this area, we used to have Sunday picnics here at Imarin Shaddam, my parents and I, our family. And so I love driving in here. And I want to just suggest to you that you consider having lots of picnics after church. It's a very nice place around here. Anyway, so I had a coach, Meneer van Dijk. But before him, I had another coach. She was a lady. And I remember the first time we started jogging. It was the first day of training for the Landclub season. And we were supposed to do like a 5-kilometer route, and I wasn't used to running that far. I was still young. And at about the second kilometer, I complained to her, and I said, I've got stitch. I get biltstiek. I'm not sure which side it is. I think it's this side. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And I was thinking, this is a lady. You know, she's going to have compassion. There was a man also. He was running far to the back. So I sort of ran so that I got next to the lady coach, and she was now going to help me, and she's going to say, ah, just walk a little bit and you're going to be okay. And so she said to me, no, Anton, you keep on running and the pain will go away. And I'm thinking, man, this was not lekker. I was really hoping this lady's going to let me off here. And so she said, now you come run next to me, so she could make sure that I'm not skipping, you know, that I can't fall behind and then start walking. So I had to run next to her and keep up with her. I can't let the lady coach beat me either. And the amazing thing is, about a kilometer later, the pain was gone. And she helped me to run through the pain barrier. And if I did stop, I would never come to the place where I break through the pain barrier. And so, is that a nice coach? Yes, that's a very nice coach that helps you to go through the pain barrier. And I want you to think of Jesus as a coach in the same manner, where you go through pain in your life, you go through maybe very tough pain in your life, and you feel like, I just want to give up, I just want to stop a little bit, I just want to pause a little bit, I just want to take a little bit of a break, I'm going to carry on later, but right now, I don't want to keep on running because of the pain that I have in my life. I just want to take a break. And then Coach Jesus is going to stand next to you and say to you, no, just keep on running. The pain will go away as you run. Second coach I had was Mr. Van Dijk. And you know, when you're running athletics and you come to a place where you feel nauseous, especially when you do bulder, when you do stamina training, that's the time you most of all feel like you want to throw up. And so what we used to do is, you know, you get to that place where you're already going, And you go to Mr. Van Dyke and you say to him, Mr. Van Dyke, I want to throw up. I want to puke. Can I stop? He says, you can puke here and then you carry on running. And so lots of us, you know, we had like a puking spot. But when you go there, then you sort of, you know, the more you see that, the more people puke. That's sort of the I'm just kidding. But he didn't have that point where he said, you can puke here and you can carry on. And in life, similar things happen where you feel like sometimes you ask somebody, how's it going? And he says, well, it's feeling kind of like, ah. Who have you felt like that? You like in life, like you just want to puke, like life is not, you don't normally describe it in words, but that's sort of how you feel. And then Jesus is going to stand next to you and he says, okay, you want to puke? Puke, but keep on running. And that's not what we want to hear. We want to hear, you are excused. Go sit there and I'll bring you a cool drink and some of our ice cream as well. That's what we want to hear from Jesus. Am I right? And for the ladies, a chocolate added to the list. But Jesus is going to come through your life and the times when you're feeling nauseous, when your life is in turmoil, when you feel like I just want to puke because that's how bad my life is, then Jesus says, keep on running. I'm right here next to you. Then there is the unity coaching. The rugby guys would be more familiar with this. Have you ever been in a team where you're doing push-ups at the end of practice? You're really tired. And the coach says, okay, everybody in a circle, we're going to do push-ups. We're going to do 20 push-ups together. And he says, I'm going to count, and then you're going to do this upon my count. And he says, one, and everybody's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, and then somebody's arm folds. It says 11, and then you do it again. And then another guy's arm folds. 11, and then another guy's arm folds. 11, and then another guy's arm folds. 11, and by the fourth time you've done 11, the team are talking to each other. Hey! As jy weer vou, dan praat ek en jy na die tyd. Anybody been there? Then suddenly you've got more than one motivator. And suddenly you've got some consequences waiting for you if you don't do your push-ups in unity with the rest of the team. And I think God Jesus sometimes puts his church through unity push-ups. He would say, let's all do Bible school. And let's keep on announcing Bible school until everybody's done it. Because I want everyone to do it. Let's all join cell groups and make sure and keep on speaking about cell groups until everybody is in a cell group. And so there's times where God speaks to us as a unit and he says, this is what I would like for you to do and I want you all to be on par. And then we get all offended saying, but who have you felt angry when you've done 11 four times? Yeah. You feel pretty angry and you feel pretty frustrated. If you're the guy folding, you're angry. But if you're the guy not folding, you're also angry because you have to do this thing over and over and over. And so everybody's sort of getting angry. Now, my advice is stop getting angry and start doing your push-ups. Start doing what God is saying and be together in unity with one another because Jesus is saying to you, I'm going to take you somewhere. And for me to be able to take you somewhere, you're going to have to be in unity. We've got to be in step together everywhere we go because that's how we build team spirit and team unity and order in the team. Amen. Not the kind of thing we like to hear on a Sunday, but then there's the last one is technique. You know, Mr. Van Dyke was also my target shooting guy. And so he would teach us how to shoot and adjust our belts and things like that. And to such an extent that we practiced our breathing that you could close your eyes and with your breathing only shoot a bullseye, closed eyes. That's how he taught us different kinds of techniques to perfect it. And so Jesus will give you techniques, the how-tos in life. If we are walking closely with him and listening to what he is sharing with us. Now, just keep those four things in the back of your mind, and we can jump to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day of the resurrection. That's the day when Jesus comes back. He says that day, he will bring what he started, he will bring to fruition in your life. He will bring it to completion. I want to tell you today that Jesus never starts anything that he does not intend to finish. What was the words that he uttered on the cross? It is finished. Now that Jesus came and he had something to do here on earth, and when he had finished it, he said, it is finished. And so Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith and my faith. In other words, he has started something in your life. There's a journey started in your life, and Jesus intends to finish it. You might want to give up. You might want to come to the place where you say, I've had enough. But Jesus' every intention is to see every single one of us in this room, and anyone who might be listening to this, to say, yes, I want to finish your race with you. No matter how tired you feel and no matter how weary you are, I will help you and I will be there. I'm going to see you through. I will not give up on you. Isn't that amazing? To know that he is the finisher of our faith. And that even when we give up, he does not do that. I want to tell you just another story concerning this. I was in Paul Gymnasium for the last 2 years of my schooling. And in matric there, each matric had a standard 6 guy. That was your sort. We call them sort there. And so that guy was sort of like a, can't call it a slave, but somebody that was sort of under your wing. And if you were in the hostel, he would carry your bag and wash your dishes and do all of those things for you as well. So in the beginning, you have initiation. In those days, we still had those kind of things without limits. And the hostel master came to me on the second day and asked me to swap because the guy that he wanted to give me somebody else who was a fifth generation Khmer, but he was very overweight. He was very timid. He had a very bad self-image. He was very unfit. Very low self-esteem, and he happened to get the toughest matric in the school. And so the school was running the risk of offending or hurting this guy out of school, and they sort of want to say, man, this is a fifth generation guy. Please, Anton, we know you're a Christian. You're going to look after him nicely, so please just swap around. So I said, okay, I'll do that, but I'm going to have a surprise for you. Because I did not give up on that young man. I remember one instance where it was very early in the morning. We were doing laps around the athletic field, and he was everybody was running a couple of laps, and he was still busy with his one. And he was sort of very slump, very bad attitude, and sort of literally like at this pace and looking around for the first opportunity to just stop. Because he's been used to all his life to just stop whenever he felt like it. His mom and dad probably just said, ach, it's okay, you don't have to do it. Ach, shay mach sis toch. And so, you know, that is clearly what he was used to all throughout his life. And the anger of God actually moved inside of me because I was preaching at this guy all the time. I was quoting scripture to him and saying, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, etc., etc. All of those ones, yeah? And so here's this guy having this bad attitude again. And I said, listen, I'm not going to let you up. You're going to finish this, even if you take a half an hour after the other guys, but finish it, you will finish it. And I'm going to be behind you. And eventually he started running slower and slower, and I started pushing him. And he sort of got a little bit angry, ran a little bit, and then he started slowing down. And I pushed him again, each time a little bit harder. About the fourth or the fifth push, I've sort of had enough, and I pushed him like a whiplash push. Because I was wanting to make it clear to him that I'm going to push him until he finishes. And he was sort of the same length as me and probably a little bit heavier than me. And he turned around and I could see in his eyes he was summing me up. He was weighing his options. He made the very wise decision to turn around and to keep on running. Because he would have had serious trouble. And I helped him to finish that race that exercises that day, and kept on preaching to him during the next week or two that came. And then came the final day of initiation, and everybody had to appear in shorts only in front of the whole school. Obviously, the ladies had something else on, but the boys had the shorts on. And this guy didn't shower for 2 weeks because he was too shy that the other boys might see his upper body. So I said to him, okay, tell you what, I understand. I know where you are. But let me tell you, I'm not going to let you get away with this. So you come to my room, and you're going to do all the push-ups that all the other guys are doing. I'm going to use the same black polish that all the other guys are going to get polished with. I'm going to put sputum all over your head, and you're going to do all the things in my room. And as he was doing that, he was pushing, and like 5 minutes into that, he said, I'm ready. I can go into the hall now with all the others. And so he joined in there, and he quickly disappeared. And that night, he got victory in life. That night, he came to the point in life where he could face and challenge his biggest fear. Many years later, by the way, for the rest of the year, he was my right-hand man. We were having a revival in school with 250 young people got saved in a space of a year and a half's time. And he was just organizing cell groups left, right, and center. And he would just say, Anton's going to be there. He made commitments on my behalf like you won't believe. And he was like my shadow. And we were serving Jesus together for the rest of that year. Some years later, I was walking in Tiger Valley Shopping Center. And here's this huge guy, but I mean, huge, like this, huge, with red hair. And he greets me, and I look, and I don't know you. And he says, hi, I'm Squilly. And I'm thinking, oh, you're the standard six car that I was pushing with a whiplash. And now all of a sudden, the roles have changed a little bit. So he almost picks me up as he gives me a bear hug to greet me. And he says to me, Anton, I just want to say to you, I want to thank you for believing in me. I want to thank you for not giving up on me when everybody else did. I want to thank you for not allowing me to be slop and to have a bad attitude, but you helped me to overcome in the name of Jesus. He became the star of the first team rugby, lock, big guy. And he was still serving Jesus fully at that time. To me, that was such an amazing picture of how we can look at Jesus as well, saying when everybody else has given up on you, he will not. I'm going to show you a video clip if the guys have got it ready there. We can maybe dim the light if it is possible. And while they're getting it ready, I want you to look at this coach and listen to every word he says, and then imagine yourself in the athlete's position and Jesus being the coach. We would not normally associate this kind of action with Jesus, but I want to present to you today that Jesus wants to do this with you in your life. We're going to discuss it as soon as we're done. As soon as you're ready, you can play that.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, bro?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, bro. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you only go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left.
Hey, Rock.
There you go. Jeremy, good effort. That away, Brock. Keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not at the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. Now, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
Hey, Doug. Just rest a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm bad out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can't! You can't! Five more!
Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! Two more! One more! I've got it in
50. I'll tell you more! Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. You are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes. Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Who's next?
I think that's a very inspiring clip, eh? You know, I don't think most of us have seen it, but you have not necessarily thought of yourself as the athlete and Jesus as the coach. And did you notice the cloud of witnesses? At first, they were laughing and sort of thinking, joke here. He's going to just sort of have a little bit of a punishment kind of exercise. And then one by one, they started to get up and they're wondering, wow, what is happening here?
And then after a while, all of them have stood up and they're even walking closer because they want to see. They can see something extraordinary is happening here. None of them thought that guy would make it to the 50 mark. Neither did he. But the coach did. He was aiming at the 30-yard mark. And then he thought, my ultimate was going to be 50 yards. And what did he do? He did 100 yards. He did double his absolute best that he thought was his limit. Because his coach is there, right there next to him, talking him through it. And then he would say, I'm just resting. He says, don't rest. Keep on going. Then he says, it hurts. He says, I know it hurts, but keep on going. Then he says, he's heavy. And he says, I know he's heavy, but keep on going. Don't quit on me. Don't quit on me. Don't quit on me. Do your best, your very best, your very best. And so he would spur him on. And why did he blindfold him? He said, because I don't want you to give up at any certain point if you could actually go further. He himself would never have thought he would even make the 50. And he did the 100. The same for us. You and I might be able to doubt ourselves. The cloud of witnesses will doubt you and I. They will be naysayers. They'll be laughing at your attempts when you start to run with a death crawl. But if you just stick to listening to the voice of Jesus, when he says, keep going, don't quit on me. Remember the words at the end there? He says to him, I need you. You're the most influential player on this team. If you have an attitude of failing, so will the others. How are you affecting the cloud of witnesses? Are you inspiring them to do the death crawl in life beyond what anyone else can? Can Jesus trust you when it really matters? I want us to just move on a little bit. I've got much to say, but I'll not say everything. I'll just run through a few things quickly. Some of the things that a coach does, he also gives you things. He gives you a diet. He gives you a training program. He gives you encouragement. He gives you plans. He gives you techniques. He gives you mindsets. There's a lot of things that a coach will give to you, and we need to value that, as I said earlier. Now, what are the things that Coach Jesus gives us? There's things that he gives you and me. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 9 to 12. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Meaning very simply that in life we're not going to have all the answers. We're not going to know, why do I have to put on a blindfold? We might argue, but why must I put on this blindfold? And why do I have to do this death crawl in the first place? Why? What's the whole point of this exercise? And we might not know why I need to do the death crawl. And we might not know why I am blindfolded and why I cannot see and have understanding about what is happening here. But one day when the blindfold comes off, then you will understand. When you're lying on the finish line in the end zone and the blindfold comes off, then all of a sudden you realize this is why. When the coach speaks to you on the end zone and says, this is why, then you will know. Then you will appreciate it. You think Brock appreciates it now? Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to not look into our blindfolds and get angry at God because we have a blindfold. There's a purpose and a reason why we don't see everything and know everything. Make peace with it. And all you need to do, and I need to do, is to listen to the voice of the coach. In the beginning, the coach spoke softly and gently, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. And the more intense the situation became, the more intense the coach became. Listen to the voice of the coach. Then, verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I want to put it to you today that Coach Jesus gives you three things. The main ingredients of what he gives unto you is faith, hope, and love. And there's two other places in Scripture where I find these three together in one verse. I'm going to read some of them to you. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1 to 3. Just listen, you don't have to page them. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, this is what we remember about you. This is what we thank God has been deposited into you. This is what we value and what we see in you. This is what we appreciate. This is the one thing that gives us joy when we look at your lives. You have faith, hope, and love. The three things that Coach Jesus gives you. Isn't that amazing? We can go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to stay there for a while, so you can turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5 from verse 8. But since we belong to the day, in other words, we are Christians, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Again, we see those three things. Now, I'm going to get to those three things in just a minute, but I want us to run through the rest of the scripture because this is going to give us sort of some of the sub-points that Coach Jesus is giving to us as the Church of Jesus Christ. And he closes this off at the end of the scripture, and he's writing, and he says, I put you under oath that every believer must read this. Okay? So I'm telling this to you before we're reading it so that you know that actually every believer must read this. Paul put it so strongly, he said, I put you under oath that you must make sure everyone reads this. Okay, shall we now read? I'm going to start a little bit. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Okay, stop there for a second. In other words, he's saying, I want you to encourage one another, build one another up, because you're going to need encouragement from one another in the race of life. And he says, as you are already doing, keep on doing it, but remember the importance of it. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Firstly, he's saying, I want you to respect and honor those who are above you. That means your pastor, that means the senior leaders at the head office, Pastor Fred and Lucille, the apostolic team, the regional directors, etc., or your cell leader for that matter, if you're in a cell group. Because God has put them over you, and they are there to bless you. And if you're going to stay under them and follow them, it's going to be good for you. In other words, he's saying, listen to what the captain says. If the captain says we're going to kick for posts, so we're not going to kick out for the line out, then that's what we do. You don't say, ah, ek gaan ons al weer nie. Morne, ek hoop jy kry hom die keer oor. If that's the captain's decision, then you go to Morne and you say, good luck, buddy. You can do it. We believe in you. You think it'll make a difference? Yes. Adam Alliance. Okay. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. In other words, sometimes people will be idle, faint-hearted, and weak. When are you idle, faint-hearted, and weak? When you don't have hope. When you don't have faith. Firstly, you become faint-hearted. In other words, it's like you don't have guts. My rugby coach used to teach me, you have to have guts. And the guy who was praised the most was the guy who had the most guts. But you only have guts when you have hope, when you have faith, when you believe in something, when you know I'm going to go there and I can do this, then you have that ability. But when you become faint-hearted, it means you've already lost hope and faith. And he says, how should we handle one another? He says, we need to encourage one another. We need to lift each other up. And he says, how must we do it? With patience. Be patient with them all. Don't get angry at each other when somebody is faint-hearted. When somebody is idle. When do people get idle? Same reasons. In other words, everybody else is packing chairs. Everybody else is excited about the new venue and helping and in the parking and waving as I was coming in. Saw lots of welcome guys and everybody's involved. And then there's some people that's just idle, not doing anything anywhere at any time. And then there's the weak who's just, they want to do it. They want to be there. But just too weak and just too tired. Be patient with one another and lift each other up. Amen? The Bible says the wrath of God, or the wrath of man, does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Your anger won't change anybody's life. See to it that no one repays anyone for evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. The joy of the Lord is your. If you don't have joy, you don't have strength. Uh-huh. In other words, we have to guard joy. You have to go have fun at that men's thing, man. And let Alex push you around a bit or do something. Give thanks at all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And says, I want you to give thanks even when you're hurting, even when you're in pain, even when you're weary, even when you're tired. Give thanks in all things, because this is the will of God for you. Be thankful that you have the muscles to actually go the 100 meters or the 100 yards. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but taste everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from what is evil. Sometimes we become complacent and people build up credibility and we just hear the prophetic word from them and we think we don't need to test it because that person has been so spot on for the last 20 years. Let me tell you, there's not a person on this earth whose prophecies does not need to be tested. That includes mine and every other pastor. We need to keep on testing, keep what is good. Amen. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Shall we repeat that together? He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. I'll do it again. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it again. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. Do you believe that? Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord that this letter be read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let me come to the three. I'm going to start with hope. Hope is the seed bed of your heart where faith needs to be planted in. Okay, now it's a seed bed where the seeds of miracles must be planted in that seed bed. Now, Standerton is a farming community, so I know a little bit about what's happening there. And so the farmers would plow the land, they will take out the weeds, they will prepare the soil, and then they've got to have that ready there. And so if you don't do that, you can plant seeds, but not much is going to come up. Would you agree with me? So you can't just put faith and faith and faith and faith and faith, but you don't have the seed bed prepared properly. Your hope has been defiled with lots of little hard stones, hardness of heart, unforgiveness, resentment towards God, resentment towards other people, and your seed bed is not ready. You don't have good soil. Jesus spoke about the four soil types, and we need to make sure that I've got good soil in my heart. Where does it lie? It's in my heart. That's where it is. And that's where we need to take out the weeds. We need to take out the stony parts, and we need to loosen it up a bit. Loosen it up means what was God saying this morning during praise and worship? He said, surrender. You need to surrender your heart to soften up that seeds of faith can be planted in there. We need to change our attitudes. Now, hope brings peace also. Do you think you can have peace without hope? I don't think so. But the Bible speaks of a peace that surpasses all understanding. I've been to three funerals the last little while. And then you look at a woman who's crying and she's breaking down, but she has a hope. The Bible does not speak of peace without understanding because we're too stupid to understand it. He's saying you have peace when you're not supposed to have peace. That's why it's beyond understanding. Because you're not supposed to have peace when your husband just died. You're not supposed to have peace if your name is Oscar Pistorius. But can he find peace? Yes. Can he find it in Jesus? Yes. And then he can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. You're not supposed to have peace when you're Reva's father and mother either, or family. Can Jesus bring peace in that situation? Yes, he can. Jesus can do anything. But we need to have that hope. First comes hope, then comes the breakthrough. The second one is faith. And faith for me is about taking action. Where we start to say, I believe all things are possible for those who believe in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we take a little mustard seed. And I want to ask you a simple question. What are you willing to believe God for? Jesus so many times addressed people and said, according to your faith, it shall be unto you. According to your faith, it shall be unto you. So many times he said those words, and I want to say the very same thing to you today. According to your faith, if you're going to trust God for a mighty revival here in this school, in this area, so shall it be. But you're going to need hope. You're going to need to say, I know that God's going to do something here. You see, what helps us to grow in faith when we see things happen, miracles, I prayed for something and so forth, you see some changes and so your faith is stirred. But hope does not depend on a specific outcome. Somebody can give you a scripture. Nothing has changed. No miracle has happened. All you have is just one scripture, one prophetic word. Somebody standing up before the service and reads the opening scripture of my message, and it gives me hope for the morning. I haven't even begun to preach. Nothing has changed, but I have hope for you and for this morning because somebody gave the right scripture this morning. You see the difference between the two, hope and faith? Faith needs action. You need to go and do something. Then, lastly, is love. All I want to say about love is this. Well, it's not all, but love keeps it all together. You're writing down, you can write this down. Love keeps it all together. Love, perfect love, casts out all fear. Love covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of offenses, a multitude of problems, a multitude of failures, every one of your failures. Do you think the love of God can cover Oscar Pistorius at this time? Absolutely. Do you think the love of God can bring reconciliation between him and Reva's family? Absolutely. You see, in your personal family, what is it that was keeping Oscar's family together? Did you notice how they would stand in circles praying and how they were together and how Reva's family was together? What kept them together? Love. Yes, Oscar made a mistake, a big one. But love kept them together. What will keep your cell group together? What will keep this church together? What will keep us together as the family of God when sometimes hope and faith has failed? Yes, the scripture says these three endure, but sometimes we lose hope. Sometimes our faith levels are just way down there, and we don't even know how. You know, I sometimes ask this question, how do you get hope when you've lost all hope? When you've come to that place in your life where you don't feel like you want to hope anymore, when you don't feel like you want to believe anymore. One thing remains. You know that song? One thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never walks out on me. Beautiful song. I'll close with one story. One or two of you may have heard it, but it's so wonderful in this instance here. I moved from Randburg, as you know, second term of Standard 9 to Cape, different curriculums, one term behind. My marks fell from 74% to 34%, maths from 74% to 34% to 22% to 14% by September. And I remember getting my report, and when I opened it, I burst out laughing. Have you ever had something so pathetic that the only thing you can do is laugh? And I was laughing and laughing and laughing.
And I was thinking, what am I going to tell my dad? Because he's still in Randburg. I was in the hostel. So I phoned on the tiki box those days before cell phones. And I told my dad, and he burst out laughing. And so the two of us were laughing together. I in fact, started to sit down in the tiki box with a line hanging there because I couldn't stand that so much I was laughing. And we just laughed and laughed and laughed because it was just so pathetic. But what changed my life forever was the 150 meters from the school to the hostel. Because as I was walking that 150 meters, it dawned on me, I might fail my year. Because I had 34% for my science. So that's 1% and I'd fail my year because I failed two subjects. I might fail the end of my year. That was September, December, I might fail. And all my friends might carry on, and I'm in this prestigious school, Battle Gymnasium, and all my friends might think, oh, there goes the loser. Now I've got to join up with some guys that I don't know, that the younger generation that we all look down onto. And I thought of the shame, and I thought of the embarrassment, I thought of the fact that I actually have to do a whole year over. And suddenly it had no power over me. Because I had just one realization. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That was not my thought, that sentence. But I realized that Jesus loves me. Even if I fail my year, even if I fail everything, even if I have to carry this shame, Jesus loves me. And that is enough for me. And that was why I was laughing, because I was laughing at Satan. I was laughing at failure. I was laughing at shame. I was laughing at the embarrassment. I was laughing at having to do a year over, because I realized I've got Jesus and he loves me. And that is my great prize in this life. And no one can take that away from me. You can take away everything in my life, but one thing you cannot take away. Love. The love of Jesus for me. No one can take that. I can fail. I can lose hope. I can lose faith. I can lose everything in this life. But I will never lose the love of God. Never. And that, the consolation that I found in that moment, in that day, changed my life. I just think of Oscar and I'm thinking, wow, he must be in such a terrible position today. But if he could just hear something like this, the love of God. That's the only thing he needs right now. Is that knowledge that Jesus loves him, regardless of what happened. And Jesus loves every sinner in this world, and you and me, just like that. Love keeps it all together. I ended up with 94% of matric for maths. Because the power of Satan was broken. Because the love of God came and restored my life. Gave me hope again. Gave me faith again. Restored my heart. Restored my spirit. Hope is in the heart. Faith comes from the spirit. May God stir your hearts this morning and bring restoration in your heart and your life. I want the band to just come up. I want us to just sing that second last song. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And as we sing that song, I want us to just remember this message and speak unto God. And I would like for you, if you have lost hope, if you have lost faith, and even if you have started to doubt the love of God for you and your life, I want you to reach out unto God and say, Lord, come and restore me now. If you want to come, just be quiet for just 1 second. If you want to come to the front and just want somebody to pray with you in agreement, please do that. I'm going to ask the Sally Leaders and Ministry Facilitators to just come to the front as well and to pray. I might pray for some of you, but mostly the Ministry Facilitators will do that. And as we sing this song, I want you to surrender unto God. Lord, come restore my heart. Come and restore my faith. Let us encourage one another. Let us love one another. And let hope arise again. Before we stand, just one question. Is there anyone here today that says, I'm not sure if I'm in Jesus' team yet. I'm not sure if Jesus is my coach yet. Because maybe I'm not yet in the kingdom of God. Know about God. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've never followed Jesus. But if there's anybody here today that says, I want to follow Jesus. If you're really following him, that's fine. But if somebody says, I want to become born again today. I want to repent of my sins. I want to put my faith in Jesus. And I want to follow him from this day onwards. And I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, my King, and my coach. And I want you to just raise your hand. Is there anybody like that this morning? Anyone? One person. You just come to the front. Just come here to young George. Let's give him a hand as he comes forward. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Young George is going to pray with you. I'll come shake your hand afterwards. Just pray with you as well. Let's stand together and let us reach out unto God. Feel free to move about if you want to move, get some space. This is for you and God.